Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, May 4th, 2020. This morning I will talk about passion. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Precious Lord, in our finitude, our sin, our brokenness, we yearn for your righteousness, O God. As the hungry grasp for bread and as the thirsty cry for water, we search for your justice where no other will do and no other can be found. Your holy scriptures remind us that you are ever near, always vigilant, and forever compassionate. Through the desert of our emotions and the wilderness of our minds, bind our wounds, relieve our pains, and forgive our sins. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, grow our faith even as our strength fails us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Matthew 5:6, we read, "Honored are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." The fourth beatitude taps into deep physical and spiritual needs expressed in the words, "hunger and thirst for righteousness." Hunger means both to feel the pangs of the lack of food, hunger, to be hungry, and to desire something, strongly hunger for something, while thirst means to have a desire for liquid, be thirsty, suffer for thirst, and to have a strong desire to attain some goal, thirst, long for something. Righteousness means the quality or state of juridical correctness with focus on redemptive action, righteousness, that we hunger and thirst for in a sinful world. The theme of hungering and thirsting, deep need and abundant provision, runs throughout in John's Gospel. Jesus first reveals himself to a couple of newlyweds in danger of being stigmatized for their poverty, lacking sufficient wine to meet community hospitality standards. Our insufficiencies are contrasted with God's superabundant provision of wine, of bread, and of fish that displays God's trademark generosity. God's generosity is remembered in the Festival of Booths that commemorates Israel's desert wanderings after leaving Egypt, when Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of light. Whoever comes after me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." This is John 6:35. The bread here refers to manna, and the water refers to God's miraculous gift of water at Meribah in Exodus 17:1-17. Reminding temple worshippers of God, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This is John 7:37-39. The symbolism of water and bread both point to God's abundant and everlasting provision that we commemorate in the sacraments of baptism and communion. More generally, to hunger and thirst for righteousness speaks of suffering where basic human needs are withheld or remain absent, as in Songs of Lament in the Book of Psalms. There we read, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is Psalm 22:1. "And how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever?" This is Psalm 89:46. It is ironic that God reveals himself most clearly in the deserts of life. Modern atheism fades from this painful stream. Modern atheists question God's provision and goodness. They argue that if God is all-powerful and all-good, then the existence of suffering and evil suggests that God is neither not all-powerful, not good, or not both. He simply doesn't exist. In contrast, Jesus testifies to those who passionately seek righteousness will be satisfied. The Greek word here, to satisfy, means to experience inward satisfaction in something or be satisfied. Far from deserting us in life, Jesus suffers alongside of us. On the cross paid our penalty for sin, and in resurrection became our guarantor. While some continue to argue that Auschwitz disproves the existence of God, many more argue that it demonstrates the depth to which humanity, unrestrained by any thought or fear of God, will sink. In our deserts of suffering and need, Jesus gives us permission to pray for the simplest needs in life. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread," displaying God's concern for us, just like when God clothed Adam and Eve, even as he expelled them from the Garden of Eden. This is Genesis 3:21. Even in judgment, God's eye is on care for his people. The righteous are separated from the wicked by their attitude about and care for those in need. Brueggemann contrasts the Yahweh economy with Pharaoh's economy, providing insight into the Ten Commandments. In the Yahweh economy, those who keep the Sabbath need not dishonor mother and father, kill, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, or covet. In other words, do detestable things for the sake of money. In the unending race to pursue wealth of Pharaoh's economy, we are pushed individually and collectively daily to neglect or break these commandments. Our needs will be met and expectations exceeded. We are reminded in the fourth Beatitude and later on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is Matthew 6:31-33. Listen to the phrase, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Do you hear an echo of the first commandment? God's righteousness on earth is embedded even in the invitation to share God's peace. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.